dedicate some of our...
What's the Hebrew day?
Shandana carpet that I don't know. I'll have to read through this tape. It's Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph Mar Chesha. Tavshin Nunbet. Okay. Chapter 3 in Yehoshua. And as I say, we're going to discuss a number of things that are relevant to all of Tanakh, and for that matter, Jewish history. That's quite a statement that I made. Now I have to set out to prove it. Let's begin with a few psukim. By Yashkem Yehoshua, Baboke Yehoshua got up in the morning. By Yisu Me Hashitim, they journeyed from Shittim. Jews have been waiting for 40 years for this journey. I would say they've been waiting longer from the days of Avraham Avinu. They've been waiting for this. They journeyed from Shittim by Avo Ad HaYarden. They came to the Yarden. Hu V'chol B'nei Yisrael, Yehoshua, and all the children of Israel, Vayolinu Sham, and they stayed overnight, Terem Ya'avoru, before they were going to cross the Jordan. It would seem that they arrived at the Jordan maybe late afternoon or evening, and the crossing of the Yarden is going to take place in broad daylight. Klal Yisrael is not going to enter Eretz Yisrael under the cover of darkness. Klal Yisrael is going to enter Eretz Yisrael by the full light of day. And it came to pass at the end of the 3 days, the officers went through the camp, they commanded the people, so saying, when you will see the ark of the covenant of God your God, and the Kohanim and the Levim carrying it, you should journey from your place, and you should follow. They are going to be following the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron is going to travel first, and they travel afterwards, until a particular point, as we will see. 2,000 Amma should be the distance between you and the Aron. Al tikrivu elav, do not come close to the Aron, the man asher teidu et haderech asher teilchu ba, in order that you should know the way on which you're going to travel. Ki lo avartem baderech mitmel shulshon, this is the road never yet traveled. You have not traveled this mitmel shulshon. Yes. Vayomer Yehoshua al ha'am. Yehoshua said to the people, "Hitkadoshu, prepare yourself, ki machar yaaseh Hashem bekirbechem niflaot, because tomorrow God is going to make in your midst miracles." Vayomer Yehoshua al kohanim leimor. Yehoshua said to the kohanim, so saying, "Suhu at Aron Habrit, carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Ivru lifnei ha'am, and pass before the people." Vayisu at Aron Habrit, vayelchu lifnei ha'am. They carried the Aron Habrit and they went before the people. Let me explain what's happening over here. As they journeyed the 40 years in the desert, whenever they journeyed, the Aron and the Mishkan were being carried by the Kohanim and the Levim, who were in the center. There were two camps in front, two camps in back, and the Mishkan and the Aron in the middle. What's happening now is Yehoshua gives instructions that for the first time now, the Aron is going to come in front of Klal Yisrael and lead them into the promised land. So the first thing that he does now is he tells the Kohanim, take the Aron and move ahead. God said to Yehoshua, "Hayom hazeh, this day, ochel kadelcha, I will begin to make you great b'enei Klal Yisrael in the eyes of all of Israel. Asher yedun, so that they should know. Ki kasher hayiti im Moshe eheye imach. As I was with Moshe, so I will be with you. You should command the Kohanim, no say Aron Habrit Leimor. Command the Kohanim who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, so saying, Kivoachem al Kitzeh Mei Ayarden, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, by Yarden Ta'amodu, stand in the Jordan. What's going to happen now is the following. They are going to stand in the river Yarden. The river is going to split miraculously as the Yam Suf did, and the Kohanim holding the Oran are going to remain there until all of Israel crosses the Jordan. And only then will the Kohanim and the Oran cross. And what's going to be interesting is the Kohanim are going to step back onto the east side of the Jordan. The river is going to begin to flow again, and the Kohanim are going to fly with the Oron over the Jordan until they arrive on the west bank. Huh? Oh, we'll explain it, will we? You know, you don't see it that clearly, another few psukim. Vayom Yoshua b'nei Yisrael, Yoshua said to the children of Israel, go shu hena, draw here, come close. V'shimu et divrei Hashem alokechem, and listen to the words of God your God. Vayom Yoshua, Yoshua said, b'zot teidun, with this you shall know, ki keil chai v'kir b'chem, that there is a living God in your midst. V'horesh yodish mipneichem et haknani, et hachiti, et hachivi, et haprizi, et hagirgoshi, for her emodi, v'hayivusi, and he will cast out from before you all of these nations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here we have all of the seven nations listed. Pasuk Yud Aleph is an extremely important pasuk. Hine aron habrit adon kol haaretz ovel lifneichem bayarden. The Ark of the Covenant of whom? How is God described over here? Adon kol haaretz, the master of the entire earth. Over that ark is crossing before you into the Jordan. In other words, what's being established here is Israel's right to enter the land, because they are following the Aron Habrit of God, who is Adon, Kol Haaretz, the master of the entire land. Vapa now, Kulachem Shnei Masarish, take 12 men, Mishiftei Yisrael, from the tribes of Israel, Ish Echad Mashavet, one man from each tribe. It will come to pass, Kenoach Kapot Raglei HaKohanim Nosei Aron Hashem Adon Kol Haaretz Bimei Hayardein. It will come to pass when the feet, the soles of the feet of the Kohanim who are carrying the Ark of God, the master of the whole of the entire land, will come to rest Bimei Hayardein, in the waters of the Yardein. May Hayarden Yikareton, the waters of the Yarden will split. Hamayim Hayarden Milmala, the waters that are coming down from the north are going to stop. Yamdu Neid Echada, they're going to stand up. In other words, the water is going to begin to pile up. It's not going to continue to flow, it'll pile up until there will be a wall of water. Even so, it came to pass when the people journeyed from their tents, La'avoret ha'yadin, to cross the Jordan, v'ha'kohanim nosei ha'aron ha'brit lefnei ha'am, the Kohanim carrying the Ark of the Covenant went before the nation. U'kevo nosei ha'aron ad ha'yadin, when those who carried the Aron came to the Jordan, v'raglei ha'kohanim nosei ha'aron nitbelu b'kitzei ha'mayim, when the soles of their feet dipped into the waters of the Jordan, the Yarden was going over its banks. Because remember, you may wonder, there are times of the year you'll go to the Yarden now. The Yarden is really a very, very little, insignificant stream. I mean, the East River is a mighty river compared to the Yarden. For that matter, you know, you can go on your Abuvim down different parts of the Yarden. You can walk across the Yarden. But we are now at the tenth day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan is after the winter rains. The snow of the Hermon is melting and coming down. That's the point in the year when the Yarden is a mighty, mighty river. So make no mistake, the pasuk is done with thinking as though, well, you know, Jews just really walked across the Jordan. It's not so. So now what happened? here the mighty flows, the Yarden, Vayamdu Hamayim Hayordim Milmala Komu Neid Echad, the waters coming down from above stood still and became one wall, Harchek Mi'od, far away, Be Adam Ha'ir Asher Mitzad Tzortan, by the city Adam, which is not far from Tzortan. Adam, there is a there's a bridge, Gesher Adam. Gesher Adam is south of the Kinneret, which really makes it at the one of the northern points of the Yarden, following the Kinneret. That's when it flows out of the Kinneret straight down to the Yam Hamelech. V'hayordim al Yam Ha'arava Yam Hamelech Tamu Nichritu. If the water stopped all the way up there, what happened with the rest of the water? It simply flowed out into the Yam Hamelech, was ended, cut off, v'ham avru neged Yericho, and the people crossed right in the direction of Yericho, someplace in the middle. The water had stopped all the way by Adam Ha'ir, water flowed down into the Yam Hamelech, Israel crosses. V'yamdu ha-kohanim nelsei ha-aron brit Hashem b'charava b'toch ha-yardein ha-chein, the Kohanim carrying the Aron of God stood in the dry land in the midst of the Yarden at attention. The Chol Yisrael Ovrim Becharova, and all of Israel crossed over dry land, Adasha Tamu Kol Hagoy Lavor Et Hayarden, until the entire people crossed the Jordan. Okay, so at least, first of all, we went through a perek. That's already a major accomplishment. Now we'll go to the next. We'll go to the next step. Number one, who's entered Eretz Yisrael twice? When I say they entered twice, what I mean is, we're going to see that from the point of view of Halacha, Jews have entered Eretz Yisrael twice. The days of Yahushua and the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Obviously, we have returned to Eretz Yisrael now for the third time, but our entry to Eretz Yisrael now for the third time has not yet made a difference in halacha. I have pointed out in the past that the difference in halacha, the dramatic change in halacha, is going to come when the majority of Jews will be living in Eretz Yisrael. Then we're going to make a major step forward in halacha. At that point in time, which I predict will be in approximately 20 years, when the majority of Jews in the world are going to be living in Eretz Yisrael, then we will have returned precisely to what is happening before our eyes in this perek now. All of Israel is crossing the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael. When all of Israel, or in the halachic requirement, when the majority of Jews in the world are living in Eretz Yisrael, then the mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, the mitzvot of Truma and Meiser and Shemitah and Yovel are min ha-Torah. During the course of the second Bet HaMikdash, we did not have the majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Truma and Meiser and Shemitah and Yovel were mid-Rabbanan, not min ha-Torah. We are now coming closer and closer to what has taken place in this parak. The majority, if not all Jews in the world, entering Eretz Yisrael. Now, but when I say that up until this point, Jews have entered Eretz Yisrael twice, it means that Jews have entered Eretz Yisrael twice al pi halacha. Let me read a few classic Rambams, and we're going to try and understand them. The Rambam says the following. He says it really in two places. In Hilchot Trumot, the Rambam says, Trumotu ma'asrot, eino no hagin min ha-Torah ela be'Eretz Yisrael. The halach of Truma u'maser applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Bein b'fnei ha-bayit, bein shelo b'fnei ha-bayit. Makes no difference whether there is a Bet HaMikdash or there is no Bet HaMikdash. The halacha is that only in Eretz Yisrael do the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisis apply. Okay. Eretz Yisrael, Hamura b'chol makom, Eretz Yisrael that we talk about in all places, are the lands that were conquered by Melech Yisrael. They have to be conquered. What gives them a halacha of Eretz Yisrael? What gives them the kedushat Eretz Yisrael, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the mitzvot of Truma, Umaisa, Shmita, and Yovel? Are lands that were conquered by a king of Israel, a Navi or a prophet, Midat Rov Yisrael, with the knowledge of the majority of Jews. Zehu Hanikra, this is called Kibush Rabin, conquest, a communal conquest of the land. Avol Yochid Min Yisrael, or Mishpacha, or Shevet, but an individual of Israel, or a family, or a tribe that went and they conquered for themselves a piece of land, even if it is in the land that was given to them by Avraham, Eino Nikra, that was given to Avraham, Eino Nikra Eretz Yisrael, it's not called Eretz Yisrael in the sense that all mitzvot have to be fulfilled there. For land to have a halacha of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the mitzvah of Trumot and Masrot, you need that it should be done by the community. And mipnei zeh, therefore, Chilek Yehoshua u'beidino kol Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim, therefore Yehoshua and his betin, they divided all of Israel according to the tribes. They gave each one their portion, because by designating the portion, it means now that Da'at Kol Rov Yisrael, Israel, acquiesces and agrees. Not all of it had been conquered yet. We're going to find later on in Sefer Shoftim, different tribes are going to go and conquer the land that was given to them. But the fact that it was designated for them by Yahushua and his Bet Din, although it had not yet been conquered, what was accomplished so that later when they conquer it, it's not called the conquering of an individual, but it is a conquest of Klal Yisrael. Okay. The next, very, very important halacha, and this is something that the Rambam says in a number of places. Okay. This is in Perek Vav of Hilchot Trumot. Perek Vav of Hilchot Beit HaBchira. Listen to this. A Rambam that a great deal has been written about. The Rambam says the following: Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha L'Sha'ata, V'lo Kidsha La'atid Lavo. Kedusha Rishona is the first time Israel was sanctified, and that was in the days of Yoshua. As they enter Eretz Yisrael now, Jews are going to sanctify the land. Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity of the land, the halacha is kidsha l'sha'ata, it became holy for its time, v'lo kidsha l'atid lavo, but did not become holy for all time. Kedusha shnia, the second sanctity, which comes in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, kedusha shnia kidsha l'sha'ata v'kidsha l'atid lavo. When Jews returned in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah and they sanctified Eretz Yisrael for the second time, that sanctity was for its time and all time. So Kedusha Rishona, what we see taking place before our eyes right now, is really of a temporary nature. What's going to take place in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah is going to be permanent. Alright. Now I'm going to... That's exactly what we're going to have to talk about. That's exactly the point that we're going to make. Here is the Rambam I was looking for. Kol shehechaziku ole Mitzrayim. The Rambam says the following: anything that was held and taken by those who came out of Egypt, that is the Perek that we are reading now, v'nitkadesh kedusha rishona, and was sanctified for the first time, kivan shegolu, when they went into exile in the days of Yirmiyahu, churban bayit rishon, destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash, botlo kedusha tan, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael ended. Shekedusha rishona, the first sanctity of the land, lefi shehayta mipnei hakibush bilvad, since it was only because of conquest, kibsha l'shata v'lo kibsha l'atib labo, it became holy only for its time and not forever. Kivon sha'olu b'nei hagola, when the Jews who had been exiled in Babel came back to Eretz Yisrael, behechaziku b'mikzat ha'aretz, and they held on to part of the land. What does it mean, held on? They settled. Yehoshua didn't conquer the Ezra did not conquer the land. Ezra settled the land. Behechaziku b'mikzat ha'aretz, they settled part of the land. Kidshuha kidushashniyah, they sanctified it for a second time. Ha'omedet la'olam, which remains forever, which, and the Rambam makes clear that you should know, l'shato, for its own time it was made holy, u'latid lavo, and for all future times. Alright. Elsewhere, the Rambam is going to explain to us, tell us another halacha. The other halacha is, when the Rambam says, when do I say that Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity, was for its time? And the second Kedusha was for all time, that is only with regard to Kedushat Haaretz, the sanctity of the land. But Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Beth HaMikdash, is Mipnei HaShchina, because of the Divine Presence, Ushchina Eina Betela, the Divine Presence is never removed. That means like this. There are a number of halachas that are being said by the Rambam, and they are going to be extremely important in our understanding of Tanakh, and certainly what's taking place over here. We learn, number one, there's a difference between the entry of Yoshua into Eretz Yisrael and the entry of Ezra and Nehemiah. Yoshua enters the land and sanctifies it. That sanctity is temporary, only for its time and not for all future times. And the Rambam has already hinted at the reason for it, because he said, the words of the Rambam were because the sanctity of Yehoshua was mipnei hakibush bilvad, only because of conquest. But Ezra, when Ezra came the second time, then it was hecheziku b'miktzat ha'aretz, they settled part of the land. That sanctity is la'olam, forever. That time and for all future times. The next halacha is, when do we say that the first Kedusha, the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, is removed? That is only with regard to the sanctity of all of Eretz Yisrael, with regard to mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, truma, and ma'aseh. But the sanctity of Yerushalayim and Har HaBayit and Beit HaMikdash, the sanctity of Yerushalayim is different than all of the rest. Here, this sanctity, Kedusha Rishona, the first time it was sanctified, it becomes Kadosh from that moment on and for all future times. Why? So let me read the Rambam. The Rambam says the following. V'loma ani omer. This is in Hilchot Bet HaBechirah, Hilchot Bet HaMikdash, Perek Vav. The Rambam says, V'loma ani omer, why do I say, Bamigdash v'Yerushalayim, with regard to the Beit HaMikdash and the city of Yerushalayim, Kedusha Rishona Kitsho La'atid Lavo, the first sanctity, was a sanctity for all time. Upi Kedushat Shar Eretz Yisrael, with regard to the holiness of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Le'inyin Shvi'it U'ma'asrot, with regard to Shemitah and Ma'isa, V'chayotze Behem, Lo Kitsho La'atid Lavo. It's not holy for all time. The Rambam is asking one of the questions that would trouble us. He understands that we're going to be troubled by it. In other words, the Kedusha of Yehoshua as he enters Eretz Yisrael, that is temporary. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash is forever. The Rambam asks, why? What's the difference between the two? So he says, Levisha Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is Mipnei HaShchina, because of the Divine Presence. Ushchina eino betela, the Shchina is never removed. There's no such thing as getting rid of the Shchina. Divine Presence remains. V'harehu omer, and more than that, it says in Torah, in Parashat Chukotai, in the Tochacha itself, it says, V'hashimoti et migdesheichem, I will make desolate your holy places. V'omru chachamim, and the chachamim said, even though they are desolate, they are still called holy places. Even in their desolation and their destruction, their ruin and their rubble, the Kedusha remains. They remain holy though they are destroyed. But the land becoming holy to the extent that you have to bring Trumot Umaiser and keep the mitzvah of Shemitah. Eino Elo Mipneishu Kibush Rabim, that's only because it was conquered by all of Israel. The Kivon Shenilke Chahar, that's Miyadeyem. Once the land was taken from their hands by Nebuchadnezzar, Batel HaKibush. So the conquest of Yehoshua is now cancelled out. From now on, the land is no longer obligated in the mitzvah of Shemitah and Ma'asrot. Shehadei eino min Eretz Yisrael. It's no longer Eretz Yisrael. The Kivan Sha'ola Ezra V'kidsha, when Ezra came back and he sanctified the land, lo kidsha b'kibush, he did not sanctify it with conquest, elo b'chazoka shehechezikuba, by holding on to the land. And this is not a political statement. In what way did Ezra hold on to the land? It's clear it was through settlement. That's all they did. Ezra did not come into Eretz Yisrael at the head of a mighty army. He came with the permission of the king of Persia, Koresh, and he settled the land. Ulefichach, therefore, kol makom shehechaziku ba'olei Babel, whatever land was settled and held by those who came up from Babel, v'nit kadesh b'kedushat Ezra hashniya, and was sanctified with the kedusha of Ezra, which is the second kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, he who mikudash hayom, that is holy today. V'afal pi shenilkecha ha'aretz mimenu, even though the land was taken from us afterwards, churban bayit sheni, Rome, and all of the successive conquerors of Eretz Yisrael that was taken from us, it still remains holy. V'chayiv b'shviyit u'b'masrot, you have to keep the mitzvot ha'pluyot ba'aretz al ha'derech she'bi'anu b'hilchot Truma, as we explained in Hilchot Truma. That means, I believe what the Rambam is saying, yes, right, the only question is, it doesn't seem to make too much sense. Yehoshua is entering Eretz Yisrael in miraculous fashion. The Jordan has just dried up before them, miraculously. The waters are piling up, dry land, the 10th day of the month of Nisan, the year 2488 from creation. The Aron before them, they come into Eretz Yisrael, they conquer the land. So the Rambam says, listen, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael was only because of conquest. No, if it's only because of conquest, only, understand, only because of conquest. So therefore, along comes the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar 800 years later, and finished. It cancels out the original. But Ezra, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, what do you mean when he came to Eretz Yisrael? He came because permission was granted. He comes with 42,000 of the insignificant elements of the Jewish community of Babel. For that matter, in a sense, it says, the Gemara says that Ezra cleansed Babel. He took the ex-cons or the present cons, and he took the dredges of Jewish society in Babel, and he comes with these 42,000, and he comes, so the Rambam here all of a sudden becomes very festive. But Kedushat Ezra, the second Kedusha, which comes through Ezra, who settled the land, that Kedusha, that's for its own time, Ula Olme Olamim, and forever after. 3 million Jews crossed the Jordan in dry land. That's only conquest. Cancelled out by a later conquest. Yahushua, Ezra, Nehemiah, ha ha! They come schlepping into Eretz Yisrael, you understand? And they suffer for years, and they settle there. That's okay. And even though later those settlements are uprooted, the Kedusha of Ezra and Nehemiah remains forever.
we have to understand what's happening here. In two separate shiurim that I remember, Rav Soloveitchik dealt with this Rambam. Everybody has dealt with the Rambam. And he dealt with it in a very special way. And one of the approaches appears in Al HaTshuva, in one of his Tshuvat Roshes, but we'll begin with a different approach first. Number one, we have to understand the following. There are two levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. When we say that the first Kedusha was temporary and then the land became unkadosh, the Kedusha was removed, it does not mean that there's no Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael. There are two levels of Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Eretz Yisrael is holy because it is God's land. It is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'ulavetcha me'beit avicha el haaretz asher ar'eka. Avraham walks through the land, it becomes holy. For that matter, most probably the land was holy from the very moment of creation. There is another Rambam where the Rambam says, Makom ha-mizbeach, the place where the mizbeach is, on Harabayit in the Beit HaMikdash, mekomo mechuvan ma'od, that place was very, very carefully measured, because that happens to be the place where Adam brought sacrifices, Cain and Hebel brought their sacrifices there, Noah came out of the table, he brought his sacrifices there, Avraham brought Yitzchak to the Akeda there, and more than that, the Rambam says, the earth from which first man was made came from the place of the Mizbeach. Adam Mimekom kaparoto, man was created from the place which gives him forgiveness. So there is an inherent natural sanctity that Eretz Yisrael has forever. But there is a second level of sanctity. And that second level of sanctity is that the land becomes kadosh to the extent that you have to keep the mitzvot hatluyot baretz. There's a separate kedusha that the land acquires that makes it chayiv in truma u'maisa and shmita yovel. For that you need the mitzvot hatluyot baretz. For that you need a sanctity that is brought about by Klal Yisrael. How did Klal Yisrael sanctify the land? What act? What act was it? No. But Ezra, in the days of Yoshua, they conquered. The Rambam didn't say that. No, there is something that has to do the act of sanctifying. There are, for example, the halacha says that if we want to add to... you want to add to Yerushalayim. You know, Yerushalayim, you can't simply add to the city of Yerushalayim. To add to the city of Yerushalayim, which means that you're permitted to eat korbanot within that area, it's not enough that the city council of Yerushalayim is going to say that Malei Atumim is now part of Yerushalayim. The halacha requires a whole ceremony of korbanos that are brought at the place to which we extend Yerushalayim. In other words, to extend Yerushalayim means that there are all sorts of very special halachot involved. Maaser Sheni, there was a maaser that people had to bring and eat within the confines of Yerushalayim. Korban Pesach, the night of Pesach, the Seder had to take place within the, not geographic, but kedushatic, the sanctified area of Yerushalayim. There are korbanos, there's a whole ceremony. There is a procedure by which sanctity is brought upon the land. What is it, Rav Soloveitchik asked, what is it that sanctified Eretz Yisrael? What did it? So he says, you know what sanctified Eretz Yisrael? The Aron. The object that brought sanctity to Eretz Yisrael was the Aron. They entered Eretz Yisrael with the Aron. The first conquest of the first city in Eretz Yisrael, Yericho, fell. Even the kibush, the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, was through the instrument called Aron.
the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron HaBrit, Adon Kol HaAretz, was the object which imposed and brought sanctity upon Eretz Yisrael.
If so, how do Ezra and Nehemiah sanctify the land for the second time? During the second Bet HaMikdash, there was no Aron. The second Bet HaMikdash did not have the Aron. What happened to the Aron? Let me read another Rambam. Even Haita BaKodesh HaKadoshim, there was a stone in the Holy of Holies, B'Ma'aravot, to the west, She'oleho Hoyoho Aron Munach, the Aron was placed on that rock. Ulefonov, and in the presence of the Aron was the Tzenet HaMan, there was a jar that held a piece of man. Umate Aron, the staff of Aron. Ube'eche Banash Shlomo et Habayit, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bet HaMikdash, Yadah knew She'sofo Leicharev. He knew the end is that this Bet HaMikdash that he builds is going to be destroyed. I mean, that it takes tremendous strength to be able to build a magnificent edifice when you know that it's going to be destroyed. You know what he did when he built the Bet HaMikdash? Bona bo makom lignos bo ha'aron. He built a place where he would be able to hide the Aron lamata, down below, bimatmoniot amukot ba'akalkalot, bimatmoniot, some place below the Har HaBayit, a hidden place, amukot, very deep, ba'akalkalot, and there's all sorts of crooked, twisting ways to arrive there. Shlomo HaMelech prepared in advance a place where the Aron is going to be hidden. It certainly is. The Yoshiyahu HaMelech, King Yoshiyahu, a few hundred years later, Tzivo Uginozo Bamakom Shebono Shlomo. Yoshiyahu was already living at a time when Eretz Yisrael became the battleground between Asher and Mitzrayim. Yoshiyahu gave instructions that the Aron should be deposited deep within the bowels of Har HaBayit. Shenema, as it says, Vayomel Alevim HaMevinim L'chol Yisrael HaKadoshim Hashem, he said to the Levim who understand, Tnu et Aron HaKodesh Ba'bayit Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. Put the Aron in the place that Shlomo, king of the son of David, king of Israel, had built. Ein lochem masa ba'kotev, you no longer have something to carry on your shoulders. And the Nignaz Imo, together with it, they put the staff of Aaron, the Tzenet Haman, the Shemen HaMishcha, the Chol Elu Lo Chosu v'Bayit Sheni. None of these returned during the second Bet HaMikdash. Which means the following. They were in the Aron. Both, we said it before. Luchot v'shivrei, luchot munachim v'aron. Do you know what's happening here? What's happening here is something very fascinating. The kedushat ha'aretz, the instrument of the sanctity of the land, is the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh marches in with Jews into Eretz Yisrael and leads them from conquest to conquest until finally the Aron comes to rest. How many years does it take for the Aron to come to rest? It's close to 400 years, 420 years, until Shlomo is going to build the Bet HaMikdash. During all of that time, the Aron went from Nov to Shiloh to Givon to Bet Shemesh. It spent 7 months in the captive by Plishtim at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. The Aron went from place to place until the time of Dovar HaMelech, when Dovar HaMelech says, behold, I am living in a beautiful home, and the Aron is in a tent. God tells him, no, you're not going to build the Bet HaMikdash, your son will. Shlomo builds the Bet HaMikdash, prepares already during the course of the construction a place where the Aron is to be hidden in the days of Yoshiyahu. It's hidden. which means the following. Yehoshua enters the land and he sanctifies Eretz Yisrael with the Aron that journeys before them. When Ezra and Nehemiah return, how does Ezra sanctify the land? There's a big difference between the entry of Yehoshua and the entry of Ezra and Nehemiah. Yehoshua enters by Jericho, and it will take more than 300 years, 350 years, until the Aron is finally going to arrive at Yerushalayim. For that matter, until Yerushalayim is going to be conquered. When Ezra and Nehemiah come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, where do they go to first? They go to Yerushalayim. They begin the settlement of Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. Says the Rav, it's so beautiful. Yehoshua sanctified the land with the Aron, and Ezra and Nehemiah sanctified the land with the Aron. But they were two different halachic kinds of Aron. Two psukim. We know those psukim. Vayehi bin soah ha'aron, and it came to pass when the ark traveled, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, Kuma Hashem, arise, God, the Akutsu, Ayyevecha, your enemies should be dispersed, Vyanusu, Misan Echa, Mipanecha, and those who hate you shall flee before you. Says the Rav, in classic Brisker fashion, there are two halachot in Aron. There is an Aron that journeys. There is Aron Hanoseya. So what does Moshe say? Let your enemies be shattered and dispersed from before you. The Aron that journeys sanctifies by what? By conquest. Which means the following. What happens if there is Aron? There is Aron, but the enemies of Israel are stronger than Israel, then the Aron cannot sanctify anymore. Vayehi bin soah ha'aron, when the Aron journeys, how does it sanctify Eretz Yisrael? It sanctifies Eretz Yisrael because the afutsu ayyevecha, the anusu nesanecha mitanecha, your enemies will fall before you. What happens if that's not the fact? The enemies don't fall. Then that kedusha, original kedusha of the Aron, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael through the Aron, was dependent upon the enemy being destroyed. What happens if the enemy reconquers Eretz Yisrael? Nebuchadnezzar comes with the hosts of Bavel, the hordes of Bavel. He undoes the original kedusha. But there is a second way in which the Aron sanctifies Eretz Yisrael. Uvenucha Yomar. Uvenucha is the Aron when it is at rest. Uvenucha Yomar. Do you know what you need to sanctify Eretz Yisrael with the Aron that is at rest? Shuvah Hashem Rivavot Alfei Yisrael. God, bring back the tens of thousands of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, the Aron that journeys sanctifies the land through conquest. So that's only true. That's only true in the event that the enemy, in fact, falls before Israel. What happens if the other takes place? What happens if the enemy is going to be stronger? Then the Aron has not done its job. The Aron cannot sanctify. But uvenucha yomar, when the Aron is at rest, then all that's needed is shuvah Hashem, God, bring back rivavot, the tens of thousands of Israel. Yehoshua sanctified Eretz Yisrael with an Aron that journeys. Here's the Aron moving. Ezra and Nehemiah sanctify Eretz Yisrael with an Aron that is at rest somewhere down there, b'matmoniyot amukot akalkalot, hidden someplace beneath harabayit. So he sanctifies Eretz Yisrael with the Aron. Remember, there's another big difference between Ezra and Yehoshua. Yehoshua really begins at the periphery. If you will, as you go through Sefer Yehoshua, not if, you will go through Sefer Yehoshua, you will see that the years of conquest, the battles that Yehoshua is going to wage,
he really moves in a circle. There is a major battle with the kings of the south, and he moves through the south, comes up along the coast, and then there's another major struggle with the kings of the north. He is moving around the entire periphery of Eretz Yisrael, and the Aron Hashem, the Aron, is journeying with them. And that's how the sanctity takes place. And as we said, it's going to take 350 years until that Aron is finally going to arrive in Yerushalayim. That is sanctity, first of all, sanctity through an Aron Hanosea, a journeying Aron. That is predicated and dependent on destroying the enemy. The enemy is not destroyed, that Kedusha is removed. Ezra and Nehemiah don't begin at the periphery. Do you know where they begin? At the very core, the very center of Eretz Yisrael. They go straight to Yerushalayim, and you know what? The settlement begins in Yerushalayim and begins to extend outward to the periphery. Which means therefore that Ezra sanctifies Eretz Yisrael with an Aron that is in place. An Aron that's in place, so first of all that you need is settlement. That was the tefillah of A. There's no necessity for it, as Sarah says. The sanctity of Ezra and Nehemiah applies for all time. We are the recipients and the beneficiaries of that Kedusha that started with the settlement of... That's right. You're right. We don't even have to do an act of Kedusha. Because the act of Kedusha began by Ezra and Nehemiah, who came back to Yerushalayim, and from there they sanctified it with Kedushat Aron, the instrument of the Aron. So there are two things that happened. Number one, they began from the periphery, from the center, and moved outward, which means they came to the source of Kedusha, to Yerushalayim, that remained Kadosh even when in its destruction. And furthermore, the instrument of Kedusha is the Aron, just as the instrument of Kedusha now. What is sanctifying the land? Because the Aron is going in, and the Aron, in a sense, is fighting their battle. But that's only as long as the Aron is victorious. If the Aron is not victorious, that Kedusha is removed. But if it is through settlement means Aron b'menuchato, that only depends on the presence of Jews. As long as there are Jews there, it's okay. There is a Meshech Chochma. I can't go into it now in detail, but at the end of the... I just remind myself of it now. It's at the end of the Shira. It says, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita. The Gemara says, why does it say twice Ad Yavor, until Israel crosses in? Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, until your people God, Ad cross over, Ad Yavor, until they will cross over, Amzu, this people, Kanita, whom you acquired. So there are really two things we have to ask. Number one, there are two parts to the pasuk that seem to be quite repetitious. Second, the first part of the pasuk they're referred to as Amcha Hashem, and in the second part of the pasuk they're just called Amcha. Says the Meshech Chachma, and this is on the basis of Gemara. Gemara says, the first Ad Yavor until they cross is the days of Yahushua. The second Ad Yavor until they cross back into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ad Yavor, the first time they crossed, it was Amcha Hashem. Clearly the Am Hashem, because they have the Aron and they're coming in miraculously. The second time, they seem to be no more than Amcha, a poor, bedraggled mass. And not even such a big mess. The 42,000 who come back without great miracles, without fanfare, Ad Yavor Amzu, until they cross the second time, and then it's Kanita. Then you've acquired it for all time. So we're saying that it is because of Aron b'Menucha, it is because they began the settlement of Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and then they extended outward. which means what they were doing was halachically taking the sanctity of Yerushalayim, which is because of the divine presence, and divine presence, Einot the Tela, is never removed, and they were now making that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in a sense, what the Rambam is saying, or what the Halach is telling us, is to us it may seem that the truth should be just the opposite, that conquest is more mighty and more powerful than settlement. Says the Rambam, no, settlement is a great deal more powerful than conquest. Yes? So
they wouldn't have the majority.
Because they didn't have Rov Yisrael. They didn't have Rov Yisrael, and that was...
They had it, but it was the Rabbanan.
But it was the Rabbanan. But they did it, but the obligation was rabbinic and not like today. Except that today... As I've said a number of times, today we stand in with the possibility of it being D'oraita around the corner, which was not so in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. I mentioned a number of times the Vilna Gaon, who says that the gematria of Yehoshua equals the gematria of Ezra and Nehemiah. Remember, Yehoshua has a shin. Shin is 300. Yeah, wait, I have to go in order. Yes.
If there was kedusha, why did that?
This second one, the Rav brings in Al HaTshuva, that there are different kinds of balei tshuva. There are those who come from afar and move to the center, and those who begin at the center, the great experience of Judaism, and then the Yiddishkeit expands within them. But that's a subject for another time. There's one other thing I want to say today, and this is extremely important. And this is extremely important on October 30th, 1991. I'm going to read another Rambam. We will not be able to fully cover this subject today. Certainly not to be able to give you all of the Rishonim, but at least the beginning starts now, and it will explain a number of things that are going to take place in Sefer Yehoshua, so that we're not talking about something that's merely limited to this chapter. It's going to cover a number of other chapters. The Rambam in Hilchot Malachim says the following: Ein osim milchama im adam ba'olam. We don't wage war with anybody in the world. Ad shekodin lo l'shalom, until we extend a hand of peace. Could it get more timely? Ein osim milchama im adam ba'olam ad shekodin lo shalom. First thing is there must be an attempt at peace. Echod milchemet harushut ve'echod milchemet mitzvah. This is the important addition of the Rambam. We will see that Rashi disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam. Regardless of whether it is optional war or war of mitzvah, the halacha is you have to attempt peace first. Shen ne'amar, as it says, a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, ki tikrav el ir lihilachem aleha, when you will draw close to a city to wage war with her, the karata eleha lishalom, you should call unto them peace. Im hishlimu, if they agree to make peace, the kiblu sheva mitzvot, and they accept upon themselves the seven mitzvot, shenit stave b'nei Noach alein, that the sons of Noach were commanded, ein horgin mehem neshama, we don't kill a soul, areihem lamas, and they remain as a people to be taxed, shenema, yiyu l'chol lamas v'avaducha, they shall be taxed, and they shall serve you. Kiblu aleihem amas velo kiblu ha'avdus, if they accept upon themselves taxing but not servitude, o shekiblu ha'avdut, or they accept servitude velo kiblu amas, and they don't accept the tax, and shomim lehem, we don't listen to them, ad sheyekablu shneihem, they have to accept both. In other words, they have to be taxpayers and they have to be subservient. V'ha'avdut sheyekablu, what kind of servitude must they accept upon themselves? Does it mean that we turn them into the slaves? Sheyu nivzim ushvolim lemata v'lo yorimu rosh b'Yisrael. They have to understand that they are they cannot raise their head against Israel. They must remain nivzim u shvalim. Elayu kvushim tachat yadam. They have to be held under the hand of Israel. We cannot have two separate entities on the same piece of land. V'lo yitmanu al Yisrael shum dovah shebaolam, and none of them can be appointed for any office over Israel. V'amas sheyakablu, what kind of taxation must they accept upon themselves? Sheyu muhanim la'avodat hamelech begufam u'memonam, they should be ready for the service of the king, either if bodily they are needed or with their money. For example, binyan hachomot v'chozek hamitzudot, building the walls and strengthening the fortresses. Ubinyan armon hamelech v'chayotze bo, and building of the armon hamelech, the palace of the king. All right. Now, yes. Why do you think you're asking an excellent question? Why do you think I'm learning the Rambam? Very good. Then I'll go to that Rambam immediately. The Rambam happens to be a Talmud Yerushalmi. I'm skipping a few Rambams, getting to the next one. Perek Shishi of Hilchot Malachim Halacha Hei. Shloshok Tovim Shalach Yehoshua Ad Shalom Nichnas La'aretz. There are three messages that Yehoshua sent before he entered Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is clearly the place in Yehoshua where we are to learn this Rambam. He sent three letters. The Talmud Yerushalmi uses the term Shalosh Pruz de Kamos or Pruz de Kos, three letters, proclamations that were sent by Yehoshua before he entered Eretz Yisrael. Rishon Shalach Lahem, the first message that he sent to them is Misherot Zilivroach, whoever wants to flee, Yivrach, let him free the land. Flee from the land. V'chotav Shalach, then he sent another message, Misherot Zilahashlim, whoever wants to make peace, Yashlim, let him make peace. V'chotav Shalach, and then he sent a third letter, Misherot Zilasot Milchama, whoever wants to wage war, let him wage war. Im kein, if so, the Rambam asks, Mipnei maherimu yoshvei Giv'on, why did the inhabitants of Giv'on have to play a trick on Yehoshua? That's going to be a perek later on. The whole story of the people of Giv'on, people who were dressed in all sorts of torn, worn garments. They came with bread that was old and dry, and they told Yehoshua and Israel that we've come far distance, we want to enter into a treaty with you. Whole parak that deals with this. In the final analysis, they made the treaty with them, and a few days later they find out that Giv'on is a city. They come from Giv'on, and Giv'on is a big city near Kiryat Yarim, not far from Telstone in the Abu Gush area, and here they have made a treaty with them. The question is the following: the people of Giv'on, they were given an opportunity to make peace with Yehoshua anyway. Why did they have to use subterfuge? Why did they have to come and make believe that they're coming from some long distance? So the Rambam asks that question. If so, mitnei maherimu Yoshe Giv'on, why did the inhabitants of Giv'on have to trick Yehoshua? Lefisha shalach lahem bichlal v'lo kivlu, because he had sent them a message together with all of the people living in Canaan, and at the time the message arrived, they did not respond. They didn't accept the terms of Yehoshua. V'lo yodu mishpat Yisrael, they didn't know the law of Israel. V'dimu, when they thought sheshuv ein patchin lahem l'shalom, and they thought that they're not going to have another opportunity to make peace. They thought this was it. And the fact is, Torah says ki tikrav elir lehilachem aleha. When you come close to a city, you have to call for peace, which means Yehoshua attempted peace or sent a letter asking for peace before they entered Eretz Yisrael, and then after they entered Eretz Yisrael, they would have had a second opportunity to make peace. There are going to be a lot of other opinions here, but the basic opinion of most of the Rishonim is that lo einenu nesuot l'shalom for peace, but the peace obviously has to be on our terms. Peace on our terms means that we cannot have within our midst a community or a people who pose a threat to the security of Eretz Yisrael. And God says it in Torah to Moshe, and we're going to see it later on over here in Yoshua and then in Shoftim, that if you don't remove the inhabitants of the land who are enemies of Klal Yisrael, they are going to be a terrible, terrible source of pain to you. They will be a danger, a security danger. So in other words, the halacha, the point that I want to make is that the halacha is extremely, extremely realistic. In other words, yes, the attempt for peace is made. And incidentally, the Gemara says, Hargir Goshi Pono V'Holach LaAfrika. Of the seven nations, Girgashi, the first thing that Yahushua said was, whoever wants to leave, leave. Girgashi Pono LaAfrika. Girgashi turned and went, left their Eretz Canaan and went to Africa. The Giv'onim made peace, cheated and made peace. I don't know, maybe in all peace there's a degree of cheating. I don't know, I don't want to become political. We want to talk... The rest waged war. But obviously, panenu miyu adot l'shalom. What Klal Yisrael wants is peace, but peace must be with security. And yes, it means that if a foreign population wants to live in our midst, so in some sense, they have to accept upon themselves v'sheva mitzvot b'nei noach, which means that at least culturally and religiously, there is some relationship between us and the people of the land, and they have to understand that they are going to be subservient, I mean, in a sense, second class. And it may sound unfair, but remember, the conquest on the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael begins with Aron, Berit, Adon, Kol Haaretz. Aside from these two places here in Yahushua, the Aron HaBrit is never referred to as Aron, Brit, Adon, Kol Haaretz, the Ark of the Covenant of the Master of the Whole Earth, of the Whole Land. Over here it is stated specifically in order that we should understand, number one, the right of conquest. Number two, we are told the whole story of the Aron because this is the way in which not only the Kedusha Rishona, the Kedusha of Yahushua is going to be established, the Kedusha Shnia, the second sanctity in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, is also going to flow directly from Aron. Except that the Kedusha of Yahushua flows from an Aron that is journeying. Then the condition is, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu yevecha v'yanusim v'sanecha mifanecha. In the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, the Kedusha is imposed upon Eretz Yisrael by an Aron that is at rest. Then the condition is Shuvah Hashem Rivavot Alfei Yisrael, as long as there is settlement in Eretz Yisrael. So, in a sense, what we read in the parak that we learned today, and in the prokim that are going to come up, what we are seeing is not simply a story of what took place then. We are talking, number one, about a key to all of Tanakh, and there are going to be a number of chapters in Ezra and Nehemiah that are going to be understood on the basis of what is said over here. The very end of Tanakh receives meaning by virtue of what is said here at the very beginning of Tanakh. So that there's an instrument of Kedusha, there is an act of Kedusha, there is a Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity, there is a second sanctity, and then the middle of Tanakh also takes its meaning from here, because it is finally in the days of Shlomo HaMelech that the Aron becomes Aron b'minuchato, an Aron that has come to rest. In the days of Yoshiyahu, it becomes the Aron that is down there b'matmoniyot amukot akalkalot, and it is Ezra and Nehemiah who return to Yerushalayim, and through Aron b'minuchato move from the center out to the periphery through settlement. Okay.